Philippians chapter 1. You know, the scripture tells us that as Christians, we have exceeding great and precious promises. We've got any number of promises that the Lord has made to the New Testament Christian. And this is but one of them that I'll share with you in Philippians. It says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing. This is the promise. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what it's saying. He that hath begun a good work in you, the day that you got saved, the day that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit began to work in you. Day one, he started changing you. In fact, you probably had a radical change on the day you gave your heart and life to the Lord, but that wasn't all of it. The next day, he changed you some more. And the next day, he kept changing you. And the next year and the next decade, he keeps changing us, bringing us higher and higher, our quality, with the goal of making us just like Jesus. Now, that's the promise. And he's saying that the one who has begun that good work in you, regardless of all your stumbles and your staggers and your failures and your misgivings, regardless of all of that, he will, not could, maybe, or might, he will continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ, speaking of the resurrection of life or the rapture of the church. He's not going to stop because you made a failure. Now understand, failures are not good. They disrupt our peace with God. But even when there is a failure, God doesn't give up on you. He will still pick you up. If you're willing to go deeper, he will take you deeper. And so considering this, the Lord gave me Abraham's life and his adventures as a type of how we should respond to the promise of God. Now understand, Abraham's promise was unique. His promise was that your seed will be like the stars of the heavens and like the sands of the sea. He had a different promise than you and I have. Our promise is, he that's begun this good work in you, he's going to continue it. And so today I want to look at Abraham's life, or a portion of his life, as laid out in the fourth chapter of Romans, and just show how we use Abraham's life as a template of how we are to respond to our failures, to our shortcomings. And I'm asking again, how many got failures and shortcomings in your life? There's not a person in here that shouldn't have their hand raised, because none of us are like Jesus. And understand something now, failure doesn't just mean smoking dope and drinking liquor and having illicit sex. Failure can be an attitude of the heart. Failure can be a rogue thought that goes through your mind that you romance it for a little while before you let it go. All of these are moral failures that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us about. And so in the book of Romans, chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, Paul is writing concerning Abraham, and he says, for the promise, he's talking about the promise to Abraham, which in the template you and I can think of as the promise that he made to us, that he that hath begun a good work will continue it. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, what is he saying? The only way that you and I can adhere to law is by performance. The law is made to be performed. You have to do a certain thing. You have to live a certain way. And Paul is saying that Abraham, the promise to him was not through his law keeping or through his performance. Now, we want to live as good as we can live. It's good for us. It's healthy for us when we live good, godly, holy lives. It's good for us. But God does not, he's not so much looking at your performance, he's looking at your faith. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through performance, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, when you look at Abraham's life, and you'd have to go back and study this, Abraham and Sarah, they were together when they were young. The best dates we have, Sarah would have been late in her teens or early in her 20s when her and Abraham came together. They had lived their whole lives until Abraham was older than I was. He was 75 years old. Never had a baby. Can you get that? Never had a child. And then when Abraham is 75 years old, God comes to him and gives him the promise. Your seed is going to be like the stars of the heavens in multitude. And when God gives you a promise like that, what would you do? Well, you and your spouse would begin trying to make a baby. Amen. Because that's consistent with the promise that God gave you. And they tried, they performed, but there was no baby. It was a failure. And this went on for some 10 years. They tried and they failed. They tried. You know how disappointing that would be? Trying to have a baby. And it was very much a reproach in those days, more so than in our days, and no baby. And it was 10 years later that God came back to Abraham and he said, your seed is going to be like the sands of the sea. And no doubt Abraham was thinking, well, we've been believing that for 10 years, and you're coming back and telling me the same promise that we've been nothing but failures for 10 years. And so what do you think they did? 75 years old. Sarah was 65. They was trying to make some babies. And for another 15 years, they're trying to make a baby when in the natural it's absolutely impossible. How can the promise of God come upon us when the situation is like this? And saints, that's very much like you and I. God tells us, I'm going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, but we experience failure after failure after failure. And sometimes it can be very discouraging until we get to the place that we think something's wrong with us. And there is something wrong with us, but there's something wrong with all of us. It's not just you. It's not just me. We try and we do the best that we can, and oh, there's another stumble. There's another a place that I staggered. After all this time, the promise still is not here. It can be disappointing. But I want you to understand something today. First of all, performance is wonderful. We want to live the best lives we can live. But God is not so much looking at your performance as he's looking at your faith. Because in the time of failure, what is your faith doing? What are you believing in the time of failure? When you've just stumbled, you found yourself in the hog pen of life, are you able to stand up with your ankle still in the hog pen and say, God, I'm coming back to you. God, I still believe that you're going to sanctify me. I still believe you're going to make me like Jesus Christ. See, that's what faith will rise up inside of you, even when you done stumbled. Say, I still believe the promise, God, that you're going to sanctify me holistically, that you're wholly going to sanctify me. It says that the promise was not to them through performance, but through the righteousness of faith. Then in verse 18, it says, speaking of Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. What that means is he maintained his faith regardless of the situation. Regardless of 10 years plus 15 years of nothing but failure, he would not let go of the promise. Saints, you got to get this. You have a promise from God. His character is such that he cannot lie. He cannot deceive. He won't lead you the wrong direction. And even because your life is still a failure, it doesn't mean that God's word's not going to come to pass. You've got to hold fast to the promise. God, I don't care how many times I fail. I'm holding on to what you said, that you was going to sanctify me, that you was going to bring me to Christ-likeness. He said in 1 John 3 and 2, he said, it doth not yet appear. He said, first of all, now, right now, are we the sons of God. We're already heirs to the kingdom. Now are we the sons of God. And though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. That means no matter how much you fail, no matter how much you stumble, don't cast away your confidence. Hold fast to your profession of faith. God's not done with you, just like he wasn't done with Abraham. 25 years of failure, him and Sarah. Get a hold of that. 25 years. And failed to the place that all hope was gone. But it says here that against hope, Abraham held on to hope. See, we call him the father of faith, but sometimes we don't look into his life to see what where God... This is before he offered up Isaac. When he did have the seed, God said, now go sacrifice him on the mountain. This is how God developed his faith before that situation. See, he's got to develop us in this area before he can develop us in this area. And it's in our little stumbles and missteps and all of our weird idiosyncrasies that faith takes hold and believes God can bring me out of this. He can better me. I have proof. He that hath begun a good work. I know you've done something in me already. I know I'm 100% better than what I was when we started. And I'm looking down the road and I'm knowing that he that hath begun that good work in me shall perform it, shall continue to sanctify until the resurrection of life, the day of Jesus Christ. Who against hope believed in hope so that he might be father of many nations, according, he believed in hope, according to that which was spoken. Now, in Abraham's day, Abraham didn't have a Bible. There was no Bible in that day. And so anything he got from God, God had to tell him. He couldn't just read it on a scroll. There were no scrolls. But you and I have the full benefit of the canon of Scripture. And that promise says, he that hath begun that good work, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he held on to the promise of God, even though all hope was gone. He had failed so many times, him and Sarah, trying to make a baby, until here's what he did. Verse 19. Oh, not 19 yet. Here's what he did. He says, Sarah, we're failures. Have you counted how many times we failed? It was often. Let's get Hagar involved. Let's try harder. Have you ever had a fault in your life and you just tried harder? And it didn't help. They said, well, let's bring Hagar in. And all he did was turn from a failure to a bigger failure. Here's something you have to understand. When God gives you and I a promise, it's not on us to make the promise happen. It wasn't our promise. That's his promise. That means he takes full responsibility for making that promise happen. We just have to cooperate with his Holy Spirit as he brings it about. And the hardest thing in the world for you and I is to stop looking at ourselves. One commentator said, look away. Look away from your 10,000 failures and look to the head of your high priest, Jesus Christ. Oh, how I want to see perfect holiness in my life. Oh, how I want to see a perfect moral walk in action, in thought, and in word. I want to see that in my life, but it's not here yet. But I see it in the life of Jesus Christ. He's my hope. And because he's perfect, I know that the promise says one day God is going to make me perfect like him. And so in this life, sanctification, it makes us better and better and better. 40 years later, I'm still there, better and better and better. Some of us in here have been saved 60, 50, 70 years. He makes you better and better and better. But it's not until he steps out on that cloud in the rapture of the church. It says, come up hither. As we're going up, he raises our personalities to perfection and clothes us with incorruptibility. But for right now, all we have is the promise. And you can't look at yourself so hard, all your failures, all of your stumbles, until you discourage yourself so bad you almost give up in certain areas of your life. Come on, somebody, talk to me this morning. We sometimes almost give up. I have failed you so many times in this area, I'm just embarrassed to even come back and talk to you about it. Let me tell you something. It's not just you. All of us deal with this. All of us go through this. And anyone that says, I never go through it, I'm perfect. The Bible says, none righteous. No, not one. That means that you're deceiving yourself. That means that you've lied to yourself. But I'm telling you today, there's times in my life I fail. There's times in your life you fail. Look away from your own performance and look to the promise of God, because that's more important. 10 years from now, you won't even know, you won't even remember that performance. But the faith that God has built in your heart, that confidence of knowing that though I have to walk through some deep waters, my Father will not forsake me. He will not put me away. So they go to Hagar. They make an even bigger mess than they made over the past 25 years. Another failure, only bigger. But verse 19 says, concerning Abraham, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, this is a difficult passage to understand the way that it's rendered in the King James. But when it says he considered not his own body now dead, in the Hebrew, what he's actually saying is that he took a good look at the fact he was 100 years old. He took a good look at the deadness of Sarah's womb. She's 90 years old. And these two wasn't having babies when they was 18. He's looking at that situation, and then he concludes in his own heart and mind, I'm not going to consider that. I'm going only to hold on to the promise. That's where you and I got to get to. I'm not going to consider the fact that I failed last week, last month, last week. I'm going to hold on to the promise. Oh, yes, I'm going to repent for those things, but then I'm going to hold on to the promise. That's what will be in the foreground of my mind, not my own corruption and failure. You can go through this entire life looking at yourself. You're always going to be a failure, just like I am. You know, there are times that, here's what we do. God can help us so immensely in certain areas of our life. I mean, when it comes to like doing drugs or something, God has helped me so immensely. I mean, if I just know you got drugs, I would drop a dime on you. That's how anti-drug I am. And I used to live that life. But God has brought me up so much. Well, here's what we do. We look at the areas where God has helped us so immensely, and we don't look at the areas that we're failing. Because they're ugly, and we'd rather look at what's pretty. But this morning, I'm telling you, even that area that's ugly in your life, in that area of absolute failure, you can still have the victory in the time of failure if you hold on to your faith. That he that hath begun that good work in you, he shall perform it. No, that's not. He will perform it. He will perform it. That means God doesn't have a back door that he can walk out and say, well, you know, that you could have done the promise a different way. I said, I'm able to do it, but didn't mean that I'd do it. No, he's saying, I will do it. And so all you and I have to do is hold on with our faith to the precious promise. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, I want you to see the faith of Abraham. 25 years of trying to make a baby against impossible odds, after a lifetime of never making a baby, after trying to bring Hagar in, making an illegitimate baby that God wouldn't receive. Nothing but failure, failure, failure. But he says, but I still got the promise. That's where you and I have to get to. That's where we need to walk. Is that no matter what missteps you have, I've still got the promise and I'm holding on to it. Oh, this is so good. Verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh, do you hear that? This is a man that in the natural, he knows nothing but failure. Concerning the promise, nothing but failure. Just like you and I have the promise that he's going to make us like him. And we have nothing but failure. We're standing in the field of failure. But it says he staggered not at the promise. Now listen, he staggered at everything else. His performance was staggering. You and I, our performance may be staggering, but he didn't stagger at the promise of God. I may have failed in every other area of my life, but I'm going to hold on to this promise. I'm going to hold on to it. Let me give you a personal testimony. I didn't know then what I know now, but I knew enough to hold on to the word. I got myself in a big mess. I had backslid so bad. I got addicted to crack cocaine. I was in a mess. I wasn't even going to church anymore. This is before I started pastoring. I was in a mess. But within myself, I would often say, I know that the answer is in this word. I'm going to hold on to the word of God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm going to hold on to the word. And after 7 years of nothing but failure in that area, there came a time that in 1 second, the promise came to pass in my heart and the addiction was gone, just like that, in 1 second. In the twinkle of an eye, I felt him when he did it on the inside, it broke. That's when you hold on to the promise of God. Don't let it go. He might not do it when you want it done or how you want it done, but if it brings you closer to Christ's likeness, sooner or later, he's going to make that thing come to pass. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but rather, he was strong in faith. Yes, his performance was not strong, but his faith was strong. This is why God allows it. God can right now cause all of us to be perfect. He's got the power right now. He's going to do it at the resurrection of life. He could do it right now, make you absolutely perfect. But he doesn't do it. Because many times, our failures that he allows us to walk through, they will strengthen our faith. They will cause us to better know him. If he walked with me when I went through that horrible time, I know he's going to walk through with me now. Come on, if he was with me when I fought with the lion and I fought with the bear, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's on me now? Who's that would defy the will of God in my life? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, Abraham's holding on to the promise, even in the time of failure, was a type of worship. It gave glory to God. And when you and I, again, I'm not condoning failure. We hate failure. We don't want to have failure in our life. But it's a fact that we have to be real about. Even in the time of failure, you can hold on to the promise. And your faith in the promise of God and the character of the one who gave that promise, that gives glory to God. Even in the time of a stumble. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded. I said he was fully persuaded. He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't in and out. He wasn't up and down. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Able to perform, meaning he had not yet performed it. But he was holding on to the promise of God because I know based on his character, he's able to perform it. This is how you move through your mishaps. This is how you move through your failures, saints. You move through them by faith. See, here's how you can tell how strong you are in this area. When you have a bad failure, just embarrassing, how long does it take you to come back to God? When David had his affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, Uriah the Hittite, it's believed it was between 12 and 18 months before he came back to God. And that's only because Nathan came to his house. But in our times of failure, what does it take? A week, skip a Sunday, and then try it? Or can you stand up after a failure, with one foot still in the mud hole, say, God, I still believe the promise. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm still determined. I want to walk with you. And I believe that you can bring me to full Christ-likeness. Being fully persuaded. that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. What we need to realize, saints, Jesus is not only the author of your faith. He's also the finisher of your faith. Meaning that he's not going to let you go in between. He's the one that gave you the measure of faith. He increased that faith when you got saved. And through all your stumbles and staggers, all of your misgivings and missteps, he has taken it upon himself. He's going to be the finisher of your faith, bringing you to full Christ-likeness. That's where we're all going. Now, when you look at each other and you look at yourselves, we don't look like much, do we? But God's got a plan for our lives, and he's given us a promise. And inasmuch as it's the promise of God is on him, we do the best we can to cooperate, but he's the one that brings this to pass. Just like when it was over for Abraham and Sarah. Come on, they're 100 years old. 75, you're already pushing it. They didn't have drugs and stuff like we have now. They just had 75 long years and what it does to the human body. And 65 in the case of Sarah, and the fact they never had a baby when they was in their teens, in their 20s. And after all of that time, he's 100 years old. God comes to Abraham's tent and says, according to the time of life, meaning 9 months, you're going to have a son. And Sarah was in the tent and she heard it and she laughed. She said, now that I'm old, I'm going to have a baby. And God called her out and said, why did you laugh, Sarah? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. I heard you. Yes, you did laugh. And sometimes, you know, we can look at our performance and say, this promise just seems ridiculous. I got so far to go. But God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. It's not here. What's on him is to bring the promise to pass. What's on you and I? Don't cast away your confidence. Hold fast to your profession of faith. No matter what happens, don't let go of the promise. I don't care. I don't care if you rob a bank and find yourself doing 20 years in prison. When you get in the cell saying, God, I'm still believing you're going to bring me out. Come on, somebody. See, your circumstance don't matter. Your performance matters little. What really matters is, can you hold on to God? Can you hold on to the promise? Hallelujah. I'll quote this scripture a moment ago, but I'll read it just in closing. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We've already been adopted into the family of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Meaning we still have failures. We're not fully Christ-like yet. But we know. How many know? We know. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you bow your heads all over the room? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Father, we just thank you. Oh, the exceeding great and precious promises. Come on, all over the room. Would you just stand to your feet all over the room? I don't know what's going on in your life. It's not my business. But you do. And right now, why don't you just bring that thing to the Lord? God, I've experienced failures, and I've experienced them often and many. But Lord, I hold on to the promise that you've given me, that when you appear, I will be like you, that you will bring me to full Christ-likeness. God, I hold on to your promise this morning. Lord, when the winds blow, when the sea rages, when it seems like my entire foundation has fallen apart, I hold to the promise. Lord, based on the character of the one who gave the promise, I know that it shall come to pass. Today, Lord, I look away from myself and I look to you. I stop looking at all of my inabilities and my failures and my shortcomings, and I begin now looking at your ability and your strength and your determination to bring me just like your son, Jesus Christ. Come on, all over the room. Just reach out to the Lord this morning. He's not angry at you. He's not put off by your failures. He's omniscient. He always knew you were going to do that. Just tell him, God, I hold to your promise. I won't let it go. I won't let it go.
Thank you, Lord, for continually reminding us not to let go of you, not to let go of your word, not to let go of your strength, your power. We need it. Father, continually remind us that we can continue to get up when we fail. Lord God, we understand and we know we're not perfect, but we know that you are the author and finisher of our faith and that you will not let us go. We know that we're in your hands. And Father, as we bring all of those issues that's in our heart and our minds to your throne, we ask that you continually correct us and do it in love, Father God, as you always do, and bring us closer and closer to you so that our faith in you will continually strengthen and be made perfect in our weakness. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we love you, Father, and we thank you for your love. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for his word this morning. It's a good thing that he reminds us of who we need to be in him and our eternal hope that is in him. Thank him for his word every day. Amen. Amen. We have a few announcements. If you haven't given already, we thank you so much that you will be able to give. We do need your support, and we thank those that have joined us by webcast as well, too, for your support, and we thank you for joining us in our sermon today. November 7th, we do have Ignite prayer, so if you can be here, please make plans to be here. That's November 7th. Amen. Let's be dismissed, but let's say a word of prayer real quick. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Father, for your guidance. We thank you for your protection. Father, we ask that you will be with us as we leave this place. Be with us as we enjoy the rest of the day and be with us throughout this entire week. Again, thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.